at the end of today's first reading, it says that Paul and Barnabas arrived back in Antioch after their first missionary journey, and they spent no little time with the disciples, meaning they rested, they stopped traveling around. Many of us just got back from a four-day pilgrimage. We left early Friday morning, we got back late last night. And I think all of us who were on the pilgrimage are very grateful for the blessing of it, but also very happy to be home. One thing great about a pilgrimage or any kind of travel is that when you get back home, you realize how nice it is to be home. Something we might not have noticed before we left. So that's part of the advantage. Well, I don't know if it's right to compare our journey over the past 4 days with what Paul and Barnabas went through. After all, they were on the road for, the scholars say about a year and a half or maybe 2 years, and they traveled, well, from their starting point in Antioch, Syrian Antioch. I say that's their home, and that was like their home church. Neither one of them was from Antioch, right? Paul was from Tarsus, and Barnabas was from Cyprus. But anyway, they were living with the Christians in Antioch and having a very full life experience there until the Holy Spirit set them aside and said, no, I want these two to go off and make known the good news. So they left from Antioch in Syria. They traveled, well, to Cyprus, and then they went around the southern Turkey, is what we would call southern Turkey, and the northeastern part of the Mediterranean. They traveled a long way and went to a lot of places and lots of experiences, and then came back to Antioch. It's a little bit confusing about Antioch, right? Because there's an Antioch in Pisidia, that part of kind of central Turkey, and there's another Antioch in Syria, and both of them are mentioned in this reading. But anyway, the whole point is, after a very long and adventurous journey, they come back to Antioch in their home base. And it says, when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Beautiful how the emphasis is on what God had done. Now, Paul and Barnabas did a lot, but they're not coming home to boast about their accomplishments. They're coming back to proclaim the good news about what God has done. What God has done and how God opened the door of faith even to the Gentiles, even to pagans who are not at all connected to the revelation of God to the Jews. Was it just yesterday or the day before? We heard about yesterday when they were in Lystra, the people thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods, Zeus and Hermes. So that they were in really pagan territory. And then they come back home. Well, we'll come back to Paul and Barnabas in a moment, but let's start with the gospel. This is Jesus at the Last Supper, speaking to the apostles. And Jesus says something to them which has very strong and lasting implications. The very first line of today's gospel, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you." He establishes clearly that there are two different kinds of peace. Of these two kinds, there's the kind he gives, my peace, he calls it, and then there's the kind of peace that the world gives. And what he's offering us is not the kind of peace that the world gives. I think we have a basic understanding of what the difference is. The kind of peace the world gives is the kind of peace that worldly people are always trying to accomplish. We think of peace in the world established by whoever has the stronger army or the better weapons or the most influence on social media or whatever. The strength is what establishes that kind of peace. Or sometimes escape, to get away from problems gives us peace, or to deny that there's a problem sometimes gives us a kind of worldly peace. But Jesus isn't talking about that. He's not even offering that. He's offering something that he has. My peace I give to you. And that's a peace that remains even when things go bad. things go downhill in the world. It's a very important distinction to make, because there's always going to be something going wrong. There's always going to be some trouble, if not in our own personal life, for sure in the world. On our pilgrimage, of course, it's very hot this time of year. One of the buses, the air conditioner broke down. And that was a trial that half of us had to experience. So, well, that's just an example of the sort of thing that happens. And when that sort of thing happens, we lose the kind of peace that the world gives. Because according to the world, you're not supposed to suffer in a hot bus all afternoon. You're supposed to have comfort. And when you don't have comfort, well, then you don't have peace. Jesus doesn't agree with that, and neither do the apostles. The apostles who say, the apostles Paul and Barnabas, who say it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Well, if we have to undergo many hardships, how can we have peace? That's what Jesus gives. Peace that is deeper, more solid, more lasting than worldly advantages and comforts. We spent a long time over the weekend reflecting on the identity of Jesus as the high priest, the cornerstone, the living stone on whom we are built. I know that maybe the dominant theme of Sunday's gospel was when Jesus revealed himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And we didn't spend as much time focusing on that, but still, the whole point is Jesus is a completely different source, a solid foundation, a cornerstone. And if we're built on that cornerstone, then no matter what else happens, we still have that guarantee, we still have that security. That's the source of our peace, Jesus himself. Even if we don't know what's happening or why it's happening, if we have Jesus, we have the way, the truth, the light. That's what he's giving here at the Last Supper, right before he's going to pass through his passion. He knows the apostles are going to lose their peace. They're going to be frightened, and they're going to run away. They're going to be ashamed. They're going to be discouraged. And so he tells them, I'm giving you something that is not defeated by all those experiences. And remember, at least in John's gospel, the very first thing he says to the apostles after he rises from the dead, peace be with you. He said it at the Last Supper. He says it again when he rises and appears to them, peace be with you. As if to show, the peace that I gave before I died is the same peace I'm giving you now after I've risen from the dead. The peace that you had when you were enjoying intimate time together at the Last Supper is the same peace I'm giving you, and you still have in times of persecution, in times of surprise, in times of disruption of our routines. That's peace. Well, let's go back to Paul and Barnabas, who have this gift of peace, which is really a gift of the Holy Spirit. Life in the Spirit is life built on this kind of peace, not built on worldly peace and security. So here's Paul and Barnabas. I say this is the end of their first missionary journey. And yesterday they were acclaimed as gods. They could hardly stop the people from sacrificing to them. But again, the tide shifts very quickly when we're talking about popularity. A very popular person one day can be absolutely rejected and reviled the very next day, and that's what happens to them. Some opponents come from Pisidia, Antioch, Iconium. They come to Lystra and they say, well, no, these aren't gods, these are enemies, let's get rid of them. And they stone Paul. It says they stoned him and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Was he dead? Well, we don't think so, because he got up after the disciples gathered around him, but we don't really know. The scholar says it's not really clear from what it says whether he was stoned to death or whether he was just near death. But it's clear that he underwent an extreme trial. The disciples gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. That's peace. That's someone who has courage. He goes back into the very city where he was just stoned. And then he goes to the cities where the enemies who stirred up the opposition against him, where they came from, meaning Antioch and Iconium. What's wrong with this man? He just got his life restored to him after being stoned to death, and he goes back as if he wants more punishment? No. He doesn't live by human or worldly standards. By worldly standards, you get out of there and you don't come back. But when you're led by the Spirit, you do the will of God. Do the will of God, and even if it means facing opposition, even martyrdom. So that's what he did. That's what they did. Went back to Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. Then they traveled through the areas that they had already visited in order to encourage the new converts, back through Pisidia, Pamphylia, then all the way back to Antioch. And the proclamation is, look at what God has done. Look at the good things God has done. Look at how God has opened the door to the Gentiles. Did he tell them that he had been stoned to death? I don't know. Probably Barnabas had to tell the story, because Paul wasn't going to boast about being stoned to death. But it's part of their missionary journey. What is this telling us? Well, we're in the Easter season. We're in the season in which we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, in which we celebrate the gift of peace given to us by the risen Lord. This gift was not only given to the apostles on Easter Day. This was the gift of Jesus to the church. That's why we can be confident that we are living stones built on the living cornerstone, Jesus Christ. We receive the same Spirit that he shares with the Father. That's his gift. So it's that's the level on which our confidence and security rests, not on whether people like us or not, not on whether we're comfortable or not, not on whether we're successful or things are going well in the world or in the family. Those things they come and go. So we can't base our happiness on transient phenomena. We have to base our happiness on what never changes. That's the love of God, the peace of God. And with that confidence, we continue our pilgrimage, our Easter pilgrimage.